Would you show up with me in Ezekiel chapter 37? God, give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to you, church. We cannot afford to hear a sermon. We don't have time for that. The urgency of this hour, we cannot afford to merely hear a sermon. We need to hear a word from the Lord. So as I speak and as we look at God's word, may the Lord speak to each one of us. Each one, everyone, whether you have a close relationship with the Lord, a vibrant relationship, if you don't know the Lord, may He speak to you today. May He speak to us today through His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, reveal, bring revelation to your Word today. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there's a difference between meaning, interpretation, and application. There's a meaning of the text. And sometimes the text is interpreted differently. And then we take an application to the text, how it applies to our lives. In fact, Donna even this morning has a Bible called the Life Application Bible. And so as you read through the Bible, there's all kinds of tips and insights, how to take whatever you just read, passage of Scripture, that chapter, the section, and apply it to your life. And so much of what our Bible reading needs to be is how to apply God's Word to our lives. And that's what I'm going to talk about. My purpose in sharing from Ezekiel 37 today is not primarily to talk about its meaning and its interpretation, but it's about its application. That this isn't just a story we're going to read that took place in the life of a prophet, but there's application for us today. Ezekiel chapter 37, it begins in verse 1. With this. Verse 1 and 2 says this: "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of dry bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." The hand of the Lord came upon me, he said. And that's something that took place in the Old Testament for moments in time, a temporal moment. The Spirit of the Lord, the hand of the Lord comes upon people for a moment and then is removed. It's this phrase. Now that's different in the New Testament because he has given us this Holy Spirit who indwells us. But that wasn't the experience of the Old Testament prophets. The Holy Spirit would come upon them for a moment. And sometimes for a season. It says the Spirit of the Lord came, or the hand of the Lord came upon him and put him in the midst, in the middle of a valley. Dear ones, that's a low point. And sometimes we say, God, what are you doing bringing me to a valley, to this low point? But it's because he wanted to show him something. The valley was full of dry bones. And it says that he caused him to pass by. To look and see, to go all throughout the valley and see all of the dry bones that were there. A survey, just to take it all in. And he looked and he saw over and over, and wherever he went, he saw all these dry bones. And he looked around at a place that was once alive. These bones weren't, people didn't die somewhere else and be brought to this place. These bones were here, and this was once a place of life, but did not now testify of a place of life. It testified that a death had taken place. That's what this place was. Whether it was a valley of life before, it's not now. And a death had taken place. The evidence of death is a sign of what had died, not what was alive. Not so much what was, but now what is. And it says the bones were very dry. It means they'd been there a while. There's been a passage of time. They were very dry. This didn't just happen. They were very dry. Verse 3. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So I answered, "O Lord, you know." Son of man, it's a phrase that Jesus would use. He would speak of himself, the Son of Man. It's referring to our humanity, Son of Man, humanity. And God says to Ezekiel, in your humanity, humanly speaking, with human power, with human strength, I've got a question for you. Humanly speaking, humanly answer, can these bones live? Is there any hope? Is there any potential of life? Answer me. And he replies and says, God, you know. Three things. Number one, he says, the answer is beyond me. I don't even have the ability to answer. It's almost like he feels like, this is a trick question. If I say this, you're going to say this. If I say this, you're going to say this. But comes to the place and just resigns himself to say, God, you know. It's beyond me. Secondly, they can or they can't, you have the answer. Whether they can or they can't, not only do you know, God, you know, but you have the ability. They can or they can't. It's God, it's up to you. And thirdly, I love what's communicated in that, and that is this, is the posture of a learner. Posture of a student. Posture of someone who is teachable. Oh God, you know. He's brought by the Spirit in this place, and instead of thinking he knows it all and has it all together and has the answers, God asks him the question and he says, God, you know. Tell me. Teach me, show me. Verse 4. He said to me, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, listen to this, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. Speak directly to them. Speak directly to that which has no life. Speak directly to that which has no future. Speak directly to that which has no hope and say this, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God. See, this is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God. This is what you're to say to these bones. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter you. And you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I'm the Lord. I will cause breath to enter you and you will know. It's very much, I think, like the picture that we have in the book of Genesis, where God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And then he, do you remember? He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And what does the Bible say? And man became a living being. First, there was a form. But the form was lifeless. And then God breathed the breath of life. And man became a living being. The result, when that happens, he said, is that you will know that I am the Lord. Knowing the Lord does not mean knowing about the Lord. Les can testify that. Knowing about the Lord does not mean knowing the Lord. It's knowing the Lord is about an experience, not an acknowledgement. Even the devil acknowledges that Jesus is Lord. In Hebrew, many of you will know this. In Hebrew, the word know has everything to do with intimacy. Has to do with closeness. Listen, we serve We serve an omniscient God. It means all-knowing. We serve a God who knows the end of a thing from the beginning. He who was and is and is to come. God is all-sufficient. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He is all-knowing. God knows everything. No surprise birthdays. He knows. And so when he said to Abraham, when Abraham brought Isaac up Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice before the Lord, because God instructed him to do that. And before the knife went into the sun, God said, stop. He's got a provision. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. He's got provision because God knew what Abraham would do. But God said, now, Abraham, I know what is in your heart. It wasn't an issue of not knowing. The Hebrew context of knowing has to do with experience, with closeness. Abraham, I have now walked through this with you. We have walked through this experience of you having this unwavering faith, because Abraham had said to the men that traveled with him, I and the lad will go and worship and we will come back to you. This declaration. And God already knew, but he now says, Abraham, I know what is in your heart. We have walked through this together. It's as intimate as when Adam knew his wife, Eve. That intimacy. That's the knowing. You will know the Lord, not just know about the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied. As I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them. And then the prophet says this phrase, but there was no breath in them. I responded in obedience. There was no life. Before he does anything or says anything, there's no life. He looks at the dry bones. There's no life. There's nothing happening. There's nothing moving. There's no noise. God had spoken what he was going to do, but nothing was happening. God had said, I am going to do this. And as he looked out, nothing was happening. The bones hadn't moved. Nothing. Standing, watching, waiting, nothing. Until we read this, and as I spoke, there was a noise. And foot became connected to whatever bone the foot is connected to. Ankle bone connected to the shin bone. And it says this, that there was a structure. Let's look at it again. Bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. There was a structure, but there was no life. There was a miraculous structure that took place. A miracle took place, but there was no life. And I'm so thankful, aren't you, that the story doesn't end there. What you have at this point, if we were to stop at this verse, what you have at this point is a lifeless body. Verse 9, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. This amazing partnership with humanity and the Spirit of God. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So, I prophesy. As he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Speak to the wind. Call for the wind. Call for the breath of life. And he did. And they stood an exceedingly great army. Now look how things are explained. Verse 11 through 14. Then he said to me, son of man, brings the explanation. And we'll talk about meaning and interpretation. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Here's the meaning. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, the people of Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. It wasn't talking about dry bones. It was this picture, this vision. But here's the meaning of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. Then I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. I have spoken it and performed it. I have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Interpretations vary in the meaning of this experience. Some believe that it pointed to the return of the exiles to Jerusalem. Some believe it pointed to the restoration of Israel. We and some of us here have seen that even take place, the restoration of Israel in these last days. Some believe it's interpreted as both, and some believe there's more interpretation yet. But it's clear that the exiles did return to Jerusalem and that the nation of Israel was reborn. The things that stand out to me of this explanation are this. Hope had been lost. People were cut off. God would bring them from death to life. In their own land, He'd fill them with the Holy Spirit and they would know that He is the Lord. So there's meaning, there's interpretation, and there's application. And here's the application. I am asking God to do what He did for Ezekiel. May He bring us to a place, watch the stages of this, may He bring us as Cornerstone Church, may He bring us as individuals to a place, and it's difficult because the place He took Ezekiel to was a valley, a low point. May He bring us to a place where we can see or survey the things that were once alive in us but now simply appear to be dry or lifeless or dead. It can be personal. It can be in our lives. It can be our hopes, our dreams, our purposes, our plans, our health, our finances, our relationships. It can be our experience with God, where it was once alive and vibrant. I was very much so alive in Him, but that experience has waned and seems so dry. It can be places in our church. Are there things in our church that seem dry, lifeless, or old? I was so grateful last Sunday as Moses led us in communion. And he turned us to Corinthians 11 and began at verse 28. And when he said, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 11:28, went into 29. He had my full attention because I know those verses. But let us examine ourselves, and if we drink in an unworthy manner. And so, I was aware, where are we going? And I don't think I've heard a better job of anyone explaining that text when Moses said, it's about examination, not condemnation. It's about examination, not condemnation. And he talked about, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But we need to examine ourselves. And I think very much as the Lord would bring us to a place and to survey, it's about examination, not condemnation. It's not about criticism, condemnation, or complaining, because none of those things bring life. Those are tools of the enemy, and you don't even need to be spiritual to criticize, condemn, or complain. But there is a spirit behind that. Criticism, put away the pointing of the finger. Condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ. He removes our shame. Complaining only keeps the congregation going around the mountain again. Listen, 10 people brought a bad report and it cost over 1 million people 40 years. The whole congregation. And two people brought a good report instead of a condemnation, a criticism, a complaining. The two said, we can do it. Here's the examination. This is what things look like in the promised land. There's giants there. But our God is able. And we can move forward. And we can take the land. I'm not asking God to show us things to bring sadness or sorrow in your life or in our church that would bring discouragement. But how terrible would it be to not notice that something has died? May the Lord show us places in our lives and in our church that He wants to breathe upon. The question remains, as it did for Ezekiel, it remains for us. Can these bones live? And the answer, can there be life again? And the answer is the same that Ezekiel said, oh God, you know. In our humanity, we've got nothing. But God, you know. Is there hope in my life? Hope in my relationships? Is there hope in my ministry? Hope in my calling? Hope in my giftings? Hope in my future? Oh God, you know. Is there hope for Cornerstone Church to reach the city of Calgary? Oh God, you know. Humanly, we can't bring any area of life, any area of what's dead back to life again, but God can. And so in this moment of, oh God, you know, we come squarely face to face with our dependence on God. There's this partnership that takes place with Ezekiel. He says, listen and speak. God, what are you saying? Whatever situation you might be thinking about, that God would show you, that God would open your eyes. He'd take you to this place and say, look, there's death, there's dryness here. We don't want to just somehow quote Bible verses like a formula or an incantation. We actually need to hear the word of the Lord on the matter. And then proclaim it. Speak to the situation. Whatever it is, speak to it that He shows you. Speak to that which has no hope. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. The Bible says the power of death and life are in the tongue. Death comes first because it's so much easier to speak to death. Don't do that. Speak life. Don't underestimate the power of the tongue to bring death. God had spoken, but it wasn't until Ezekiel spoke that anything started to happen. That, to me, that is both a mystery and an amazing gift of partnership. God had spoken, but nothing happened. Until the prophet spoke the word of the Lord. It's not enough for us to know what God wants to do. We can figure that out many times in many ways. Not because we're so smart, because He showed us so many things. The will and the plan of the Lord. It's not His will that any should perish. But it's not enough to just be in the loop of the mind of the Lord. We need to speak, hear the word of the Lord. We need to declare, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, and as we do, things are going to change. Things are going to rearrange. Things are going to come together. Situations are going to get better. And as the excitement begins to build of what could be again. But we must acknowledge that even in this amazing partnership with Him, declaring His word and believing and being obedient to what He asks us to do, we need more than structure. The bones came together. The muscles and sinew and flesh came together. And it looked like there was life. But there was no life. We need more than a rearrangement of structure. We need life. And God said, prophesy to the breath. He didn't say command. He said prophesy. We don't command God. He said prophesy. Prophesy means say the same thing as God is saying. Say already what God is saying. And listen to what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel gave an invitation. And he said, come. Come from the four winds, O breath. and breathe on these slain that they may live. Come, O wind of God. Come, O breath of God. From every area, north, south, east, west, from every area, come, O breath of God. Come and breathe life. God was in the structure. There was a miraculous structure that took place for function, but it wasn't enough. Come, O wind, and breathe. Come, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on my family. Breathe on my loved ones. Breathe on my church. That all of us might know that He is the Lord. That we would acknowledge Him, not just in acknowledgement, but we would know Him. And they that know their Lord, they that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits, that we might experience the new life that He has for us. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life, and that life more abundantly.